Great. We're here together on Thursday again, and I'm going to be sharing, actually, kind of like a review, but more emphasis on one part, on the, what's the title? How do you know if it is the Holy Spirit? How do you know if it is the Holy Spirit? I might want to change that title to, how do I know if I'm filled with the Spirit? How do I know if I am filled with the Spirit? Is the title that I want to share it with, but it's a review with the emphasis in different place. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this night together and just an opportunity to reflect on what it means to be filled with your Spirit and how we could long for it, how we could wait for it, and how we could enjoy it and to manifest the work of your Spirit in our lives. And I really believe, Lord, through this time, you're awakening me and awakening our ministry to the need of fresh experience of you in this area. So, Lord, would you be with us and continue to motivate us and move our hearts to desire it, pray for it, and that indeed our ministry be a ministry that would experience a renewed Pentecost and outpouring of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right. This is something I believe God is leading me and our ministry towards. And so I gave two messages on this. But I don't want to so easily forget about it. So I'm giving you a third message on it. This is the same message of the second one, but I'm going to focus on part C, which I just zipped through last time because it was long. But briefly going over the passage, the first verse says, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statute, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances." So this is a prophecy from Ezekiel referring to the new covenant that will come through Jesus Christ. In that new covenant, when it's established, he said he will give us a new heart and a new spirit in us. He will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, give you a heart of flesh. So a stubborn and rebellious and, you know, hardened heart to a soft heart. Because he's going to put the Holy Spirit in us. And what Holy Spirit does, he causes us to walk in the statute. He causes us to be careful to observe his ordinances. So even the desire to walk with God, walk in his image, walk in obedience, walk in the center of his will, really is moved by the Holy Spirit. If I don't have that heart, if I don't have this heart, this is already a sign. If I don't have a heart to walk in his statue and be careful to do according to his ordinances and to walk in his character, that means the Spirit of God is being quenched. If I don't have that heart, somehow my heart is still a heart of stone. So even from this one verse right here, it's already a prophecy for Christians who have Jesus and the Spirit. What he's trying to do is part of his sanctification is he wants to remove the heart of stone. And but you know how stubborn and rebellious we can be. But God is, when the Spirit comes in, he wants to soften and break that heart and a humble, a broken, contrite spirit is definitely what God's trying to help us to achieve come to and to replace that with a soft heart. Heart like David. Because the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit is full, that's what he does. He makes our heart soft and want to walk in his statute and his ordinances. And that's why the next verse in Zechariah, then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zechariah, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So in this right here, I've been realizing even more so is, you know, we know, I mean, we're saved by faith and we have the Spirit, and yet somehow if we're not full of the Spirit, we're still trying to live the Christian life by my might and my power. You are mostly, you know, college graduates, right? Oh, well, actually, a few people graduated. Some of you didn't. But you are, you know, UCI, you know, I don't know. What else do we have? UCLA and USC. And do we have any other campus here? Rutgers. Yeah, Rutgers. So you guys are all university, you know, qualified people. And it took a little bit of your, you know, discipline of study to get there. You're able to, you know, harness your ability and discipline yourself to get to even colleges. The thing is, with that ability, sometimes we could become a Christian not full of the Spirit and depending on the Spirit. We become a Christian not filled with the Spirit. We can discipline ourselves to be a Christian with my might and my power. But God is saying, not by my might, nor by my power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. So I'm just realizing more and more through the message I gave, and now just, though I knew this before, I'm just becoming more aware, and God's making that very clear, is that our ministry can use more filling of the Spirit. Because I think, you know, we became an intelligent Christian, and we know what to do, and we want to do it, but many times it's in my might, in my power. And that is not the way the ministry is going to be fruitful or grow in a healthy manner. So we're talking about, you know, establishing professional ministry, you know, college ministry, church ministry. Doesn't matter which ministry you go to. If you don't have a personal Pentecost and you're not living by the Spirit, if you live by your might and your power, you know, we cannot be used in mighty ways. Well, first of all, we can't enjoy God to the fullest. So that's why I want to re-emphasize and, you know, review and focus on this. And if you go down to the B part, that was the focus of last message, just briefly going over that. How do you know if it's the Spirit? How do you know if you're filled with the Spirit? That's the question I would say ask today. How do you know if you're filled with the Spirit? You need to have this sign, the Spirit's passion to be a Christ witness to all nations is present. For a person who's filled with the Spirit, you will have passion. To the degree you do not have passion, you're more quenching the Spirit by your old life. Your old life is not sanctified and made filled with the Holy Spirit, so the passion is lacking. So if you are full of passion, you are full of the Spirit. If you're not full of passion, if you're lacking passion, you could well assume, I'm not filled with the Spirit. It's okay to say that. I was talking to someone, you know, I want you to assess some of these evidence, whether, you know, you see a Spirit-filled evidence or not. But if you're not, just say, I'm not filled. I don't have passion. And say, I don't have passion. That shows me I need passion from the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask God for the Spirit's fullness. So you need to know how much you're lacking so you could desire it passionately. So this is a sign if you're filled with the Spirit. Spiritual insights and understanding of God's word and Christ. is an evidence that you're full of the Spirit. If you have a spiritual insight, understanding to God's word, God reveals the depth and the riches of God's word, and you understand Christ more, that shows that you're full of the Spirit. Boldness to stand up and proclaim Christ, him crucified, his salvation, and to invite people to, you know, be saved from this corrupt generation. We need to detest the corruptedness of this world. And to the degree you're full of the Spirit, you will detest the corruption, and you want to proclaim salvation in Christ boldly, just like Peter, who stood up and preached, and 3,000 came to Jesus. You know, and conviction of sin and willingness to repent and baptize in the name of Jesus. It all happened in Acts 2. So conviction of sin takes place when the Holy Spirit touches areas of sin. And then Holy Spirit inspired repentance will come. And people was touched by want to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Gladness and sincerity of heart to be devoted day by day. We talked about that in the book of Acts too. So there's a joy and gladness to get together with brothers and sisters to receive the teaching of the word and enjoy it. So how many of you are enjoying this Thursday night gathering? How many of you are looking forward to say, I'm going to be together with my brothers and sisters and listen to Pastor Min teach me the word of God? And there should be kind of a gladness and sincerity instead of, oh, I have to drag myself to Thursday meeting. And, oh, Pastor Min's going to be preaching and convicting me again. Oh, no. What is he going to say? So, no. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're glad about these meetings. It's not even every day. It's like only Thursday. But even if we have everyday quiet time, if you have the Spirit, you want to gladly, sincerely devote yourself to the apostles' teaching, fellowshipping, breaking of bread, praying together. So, which we hope to do more, corporate prayer together. But, you know, if you look at the part of this passage is what I talked about on Sunday. When there's Holy Spirit, there's a Holy Spirit-inspired Christian generosity. I didn't put that down here, but there's a Christian generosity because you're filled with the Spirit and you just become selfless. And I just want to share, and I want to sell my house so that we can share equally with everybody else. You know, this kind of stuff happened when the Spirit was filled. So this is definitely an evidence of the fullness of Spirit. When you are generous, but if you're not generous and you're still like your old self, you know, protective of your possession and not wanting to share it, then the Holy Spirit is quenched. My goodness, it's pretty simple. You can see it very clearly. Boldness to heed God over heeding man's authority, you know. What's the second part? I can't see it in this note right here. Prayer for what? What did it say? Human authority and
prayer for greater courage.
Yeah, prayer for greater courage. Yeah, so, you know, when they prayed, they, you know, earth shook and the boldness came, right? So that's a sign of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, if you're filled with the Spirit, you pray and you're filled with the Spirit and you're full of courage to preach the gospel. I think we mentioned that with Peter, but this refers to general people, and they were bold enough to, you know, not even to go against the human authority. When they were told not to preach, they said, should we listen to man or should we listen to God? And they were willing to pay the consequence of resisting the human authority. So divine encounters where you're used in an amazing way, just like Philip was met with Ethiopian I told you about. So when we're filled with the Spirit, it seems like we're sensitive to God's Spirit so that He seems to lead us and use us to a very divine situation. Just simply, if you're not filled with the Spirit, even though Spirit says, go and talk to that person, you will not talk to that person. If you do not talk to that person, you experience nothing. But if you're filled with the Spirit and you sense the Spirit saying, go talk to that person, and you talk to that person, you're going to be entering into a divine encounter to be used in an amazing way. So that's pretty much the review, but I really wanted to focus on C, and because I zipped through it. But how do you know if you're filled with the Spirit? When you experience the Helper. You know, John 14:16 says that the Helper will come, and he will guide you to all truth, and he will speak not on his own initiative, but he will speak only what I give him, and he will reveal me to them. So basically, he will reveal more about Christ. And so, but anyway, the word for Helper can be translated as Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener. So this is just a word study from the word Helper. It's a Paraclete. The Greek word is Paraclete. Paraclete means the Helper, Paraclete, that God the Father and Christ will send us, is a Paraclete. Para means alongside, actually. Somebody who will be with us alongside. He will be a Helper, Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener. So if you experience Holy Spirit in any of these forms, you are filled with the Spirit. When we're not filled with the Spirit, we experience the Helper less. So you can experience Holy Spirit helping you directly through God's Word, but you could experience the Helper even through people. So I told you one of the fun things this week was that John Kang stopped by yesterday, and he was thinking about what to share to me to encourage me about how he was very helped, right? So even through people, Holy Spirit encouraged me. So I was encouraged yesterday. Hey, Pastor Min first. You know, I'm not always the unknown guy, you know? So I knew I need encouragement, and he brought some encouragement through John Kang. And Holy Spirit does that. He comes directly through the Word of God, but he also moves people to come and encourage us. And so, you know, if you're seeing that, you're filled with the Spirit. Next one is the Spirit of Truth, who guides to all truth and discloses us about Christ. So John 14, 15, 16 all talks about how God will send the Helper, the Comforter. And he says, the Spirit of God leads us to all truth and disclose to us about Christ. He never wants us to focus on the Holy Spirit, actually. Holy Spirit, when we ask the Holy Spirit, he will lead us to know more about Christ. And Christ wants to reveal the Father. Is that interesting? Christ, you know, didn't want to promote himself. Through him, he would reveal the Father. And for the Holy Spirit, you know, wants to reveal Christ. So if you are Holy Spirit, you're going to learn more about Jesus Christ. You're going personally coming to an experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he guides us to all truth. Well, recently, I was kind of thinking about my song I was singing. And I changed some lyrics, and I put on at the end, the Father of Eternity. That means Jesus is the Father of Eternity, not his Father. Jesus is not the Father. Father is the Father. Jesus is Jesus, Son, Holy Spirit. But in the Isaiah verse, Jesus is referred to as Eternal Father, but more closer translation is Father of Eternity. So we know about Jesus, the Father of Eternity. But anyway, Spirit of Truth will guide us to deeper understanding about God's Word and who Christ is. And if you are growing in who Jesus is, knowing who Jesus is, and enjoying the Word of God, then you're filled with the Spirit. But if you're not filled with the Spirit, you could care less about the truth. You don't even care about Jesus. The more filled with the Spirit, you want to know more about Jesus. That's why I really enjoy whenever there's a connect with the Old Testament, and New Testament, just really love that. And what Jesus did to the disciple. The two disciples wrote, he went through text by text test, and he said, wasn't there burning when explaining the scripture to us? So that's it. When you know the Spirit and you learn about God's word in Christ, your heart should be burning. How many of your hearts are burning when you learn about Jesus and the Word of God? Oh, you're so young. If you're burning when you learn about these things, that means you're filled with the Spirit. Okay, the other is, you know you're filled with the Spirit when you rejoice in the assurance of salvation. When you are rejoicing with joy of salvation, and to know that I am a child of God. I'm a child of God. If you really enjoy that, then you're filled with the Spirit. Because Romans 8:16, I see a Brent picture here. Brent, read for me Romans 8:16.
This is NAV, but the Spirit is witness with our spirit, children of God.
Okay, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness that we are children of God. Amen? So we go through assurance of salvation, John 5:11-13. That is so good. You know, because we believed in the name of God, I mean, we have eternal children of God. And so by faith God gave in and belief, we responded in believing, we're saved and we have a life. We became a child of God. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So we know by God giving me faith, and we know by the promise of the Word of God, we are saved and we have eternal life. But also the Holy Spirit in us, you know, brings us peace and enjoyment of the fact that we are sons of God. And Holy Spirit bears witnesses that we are children of God. When you're filled with the Spirit, you will enjoy that joy of salvation and the confidence of knowing I'm a child of God. And that impression is, you know, strengthened and more clearly affirmed by the Holy Spirit for you. So that's how you know you are filled with the Spirit. Next is the comfort of the Spirit who intercedes and teaches us how to pray when we do not know how to pray. Romans 8:26-27. Let's have Adele. I see you, your face right there.
Yeah.
I only have three faces I could see. Go ahead.
Romans 8:26-27 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God.
Mm-hmm. There's actually two interpretations of this. Some people believe that Spirit of God knowing what's happening within us, he teaches us how to pray. So he kind of gives us the words to pray. So that's one interpretation, that the Holy Spirit knows us with groanings. He gives us the word to pray. So in a way, Holy Spirit is not praying, but then he gives us the word so that we can pray. and that's okay too. But sometimes it also, verse also says, we don't know how to put it into words sometimes. Yes, the Holy Spirit therefore will give us the words, or the Holy Spirit himself intercedes with groanings too deep for words. So in that sense, the words are not enough. The words are not enough to express the groaning. So the Holy Spirit is praying for us. So we receive comfort knowing that the Holy Spirit is interceding for me, and there's a comfort in that. That's the Holy Spirit. If we're experiencing, you know, I'm not thinking about what to pray for, but at least just like throw it into my mind for us to pray. So that's a praying in the Spirit. When you pray a lot and you're in the groove of praying, sometimes you're going to, it's come, you know, just the moment you're opening your mouth, you know, the thought is there and you're praying. And people say that Spirit, praying in the Spirit, because God's Holy Spirit gives you the word. How many of you experienced that before? Sometimes you don't even have to think about what you're going to pray, but it's just, it quickly comes to your mind, and you know, before you think about it, is that praying in the Spirit, you can express your failure. Okay, so this is when you are comforted by the instruction of the Spirit, and the Spirit that shows that you are, you know, filled with the Spirit. Next thing is strengthening in the inner man with power, faith, and love of Christ. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. Okay, who else is there? Let's see. Okay, I got the list of people who are there. Deborah.
Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
Is there a mentioning of the inner man there?
I don't think in my version.
Not in this version? Okay, this is NASB. In the NASB, it says that you will be strengthened of the inner man with power, faith, and love of Christ. You know? So the word inner man is a pretty important thing. What the Holy Spirit wants to do is heal the inner person and strengthen the inner person to bring power and bold faith and love of Christ, which is selfless. When an inner person is hurt and inner person is not well, they become very self-ingrown. They can't act in bold faith. They don't have power because they're self-focused. But the Holy Spirit comes, he wants to strengthen and heal the inner person. Does that make sense? When the Holy Spirit heals the inner person, that person is healed to the point where they can act with power, bold faith, and selfless love of Christ. But I know that you know, many people have experienced hurts in the past. And because they're not completely healed, in a way, they keep on going back to that hurt over and over again. Sometimes even they get inner healing prayer. We do inner healing prayer. That's where the word inner came from, inner man, inner healing. And but somehow, because they're not filled with the Holy Spirit, if they're not healed by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, the hurts will keep on coming back, and they become self-ingrown, you know, self-focused. So we need the filling of the Holy Spirit, you know, personal Pentecost, outpouring of the Spirit into our soul, that the Spirit of God is the one who heals the inner man, strengthens the inner man with power, faith, and love. So if you've experienced healing to the point you become you know, from powerlessness to powerfulness, lack of faith to bold faith, to self-centeredness to selfless love, then you are experiencing the fullness of the Spirit. Does that make sense? This is how you recognize whether you're filled in the Spirit or not. Next. Okay. I'm tired of reading it for myself. So Jeremy, read it. What's the next one? Ed, you could go to the next.
Conviction of righteousness and judgment.
And John 16 says,
"But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned."
Yep. You know why it's beneficial for Jesus to leave? Because the Holy Spirit coming will live inside of us and do these things. And we needed the Holy Spirit because Jesus is here no longer. That's basically the reasoning. Because Jesus is no longer on earth to help us directly. He's at the right hand of the Father. So he sent us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit living in us convicts us of our sins. You know, teach us about righteousness and reveal to us what happened to the prince of this world. You know, they've been judged. His judgment will be revealed to us. So the Holy Spirit will convict us of our sins. So if we are convicted by our sins, then there's a hope that the Holy Spirit is active. When we sin, do we get convicted of our sin? Or it's just another thing and you just move on. So if Holy Spirit comes, you can't be okay with even little sins. You know, you are convicted and you repent and you want to change your way. And, you know, just even to know righteousness, but to live righteousness as well. And the judgment of what happened to the prince of this world. And especially in the end time right now, even to be able to know that this is the end time and the coming of Christ is near, and even the white judgment throne is coming. You know, that's the final white judgment throne where those who are saved in Christ will receive a judgment of reward. Those who did not believe will fall into judgment of eternal death. Okay, next one, Ed.
Regeneration and renewal by the Spirit. Titus 3:5. He saved us not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of the birth and renewal by the Holy Spirit.
You know, I've been meditating on this about three times because I've been going through with my disciple, Kaushik, and then Bing Chen, and then Kevin. And I didn't go through this one with Bozzy, but I've just gotten a chance to re-meditate on this passage. And the point of what happens by the Holy Spirit is regeneration. Regeneration is being born again. It's only not by our righteousness, but by the Holy Spirit we are born again. So if you are to say you're filled with the Spirit, definitely you should have a born-again experience, regeneration. Regeneration is totally, you know, there is a definitely evidence of being born again. You need to have some kind of new life, very clear new life. Not only just a brief one, but it has to be continually evident that you have new life in your Christian life. Once you're regenerated, guess what it is? What next? Renewal by the Spirit. Those are two different things. One is regeneration is the total new birth that happens when a person from kingdom of darkness comes into the kingdom of light. But after being regenerated, coming over to the kingdom of light, renewal by the Holy Spirit. That's more like a sanctification. Renewal by the Holy Spirit must take place. That's done by the Holy Spirit too. When a community of people needs to renew, you call that revival. Individual being renewed is renewed, but if many people gets renewed, what is it called? Revival. So we need to get revived as a community, and each of us need renewing, continual sanctification by the Holy Spirit. Okay, next.
Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training by God's word, 2 Timothy 3:16.
Okay, how many of you are experiencing teaching of the word and this teaching is impacting your life? Not are you receiving teaching from Pastor Min, Missionary Ed, and Jeremy, and Conrad, but not only are you getting teaching, but how many of you are being impacted by the teaching? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you hear the word of God, you will be taught. Not only taught, you'll be rebuked. How many of you have been rebuked by the Holy Spirit and by the word of God? Great, you have hope. if you're filled with the Spirit, you know, even a brief word from God, you're just kind of impacted. You know, anything that the word of God is pointing to your life, you'll be rebuked, even corrected, and continue training in righteousness through the word of God. So those who are filled with the word really appreciate and enjoy and are impacted by the word of God. This is a good sign to know whether you're doing well or not. If you're kind of numb to the word of God, all this teaching and the word being preached, and you're hearing it, but it's not really touching your heart, then you're in trouble. You're not in a good condition. This is to give you a discernment. This simple passage that we know, we memorize, actually gives you discernment. If you're not being touched by in any of these areas by the word of God, then you're not in a good condition. Your heart is hardened. Perhaps your heart is a heart of stone, and you need to really pray that God will make your heart of flesh filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is a good testing, litmus test, I would say. Next, go ahead, Ed.
Abounding hope from the God of hope, Romans 15:13.
Mm-hmm. And the verse?
Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
This is another test. Are you full of hope or not? Because the Spirit of God leads us to hope. The God of hope. The Spirit of hope. So when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we're experiencing the manifestation and the blessing of the Spirit according to the B part and the C part, Book of Acts, there's a lot more in the Book of Acts, but if you are experiencing the impact of the Holy Spirit filled in you in these ways, you cannot be without hope. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit comforting you, and the Spirit of God leading you to truth and knowing more about Christ, the joy of salvation, you know, comfort of the Spirit's intercession for you, and him teaching you. So when you enjoy these things because you're filled with the Spirit, it leads you to hope. So if you're lacking hope, that means you're not experiencing the Holy Spirit. So this is a good test. The degree you have hope or not is a degree you're filled or not filled with the Spirit. And next, go ahead.
The fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Okay. So we know the fruit of the Spirit is pretty evident when we're filled with the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit will be evident when we're filled with the Spirit. I wrote this in our training center. three sun, you know, skylight, I have love, joy, and peace. And the side windows of six windows on the side, I put the rest of it. I put patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Well, you won't see it because they're going to put drywall over it. Only those who have witnessed it knows that those words are below the drywall. But you know what? Holy Spirit is in us, and this will be an overflow of the Holy Spirit giving us desire to love, enjoy peace, joy and peace, and be kind. And these are evident. And so I could just assess myself. How am I exhibiting these fruit? It's to the degree I'm filled with the Spirit. And I need to pray that God would help me to be even more filled. But even though I may not be, if I would score myself to score high in any of these, it doesn't mean I should not live this out. But in believing, like I said, by faith, I have the Holy Spirit. I need to obey the Spirit by living these characters out. As I, by faith, live this character out, that's the path to being filled with the Spirit. So all of these, expressions of the Holy Spirit being filled, there's always something to obey by faith related to it. You need to go back and see, what do I need to obey to experience this? Even though you're not experiencing it, if you just do the obedient thing by faith, it's a path to being filled with the Spirit. Does that make sense? Actually, to be filled with the Spirit and even to receive the fresh anointing of the Spirit, fresh Pentecost, it's done by faith. Why do we pray? Why did they pray for 9 days? When they pray a lot, their faith gets stronger. Why do you get saturated with the Word of God? If you have a lot of the Word, it strengthens your faith. It's when you believe and you act on that belief, that's the path towards being filled with the Spirit. Does that make sense? I think I said that before. Okay, next one. Go ahead, Ed.
The gifts of the Spirit expressed as an act of worship and the will of God, compelled by love and to minister to others. Romans 12:1-9. Therefore, brothers and sisters.
Okay, that's a long passage. But read just the first two.
Therefore, my dear brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is.
You know, most of this verse is talking about the gift of God, gifts. You know, according to the faith God has ordained to you, think soberly about how much faith God has given you. So it's talking about various gifts, but it says to do that, express that gift out of love, and express that gift to serve others. But how do you do that? By worshiping God, by offering your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and being separate from the world, discerning His will. So gifts of the Spirit that's described here is an expression of act of worship, abiding in the will of God, compelled by love to minister to others. And if you are expressing your gifts as an act of love, to be in the will of God, compelled with love and ministering to others, freely committed to His will, committed to worship, committed to love, committed to serve, to the degree you are passionately into this, shows you how you are, filled with the Holy Spirit. Gift of the Spirit also come when you are filled with the Spirit. No? Okay. Last one.
The filling of God's love to exult in tribulation, perseverance, proven character, hope that does not disappoint.
the filling of God's love to exalt in tribulation and perseverance and proven character, that does not disappoint, because it leads to hope, and hope does not disappoint. You know, so to the degree we are filled with God's love to rejoice in tribulation, persevere, and expressing proven character with the love of God is to the degree we're filled with the Spirit. It's not anyone who exalts in tribulation. How many of you are rejoicing when you're in tribulation? I heard that, you know, Albert, you're going through tribulation again. Is that right? Is that a tribulation or a, you know, out of some trouble in your house? I didn't quite hear correctly.
Yeah, it's a tribulation, I guess.
It's a tribulation. Well, if you're full of the Spirit and in the love of God, you know, you will learn how to exult, rejoice in tribulation instead of just grumbling and shriveling up in tribulation. You want to say, God, you know, you are with me. You have given me promises. You're using this to test me. I want to pass the test, God, you know. So you, if you're filled with the Spirit and the love of God, then, you know, you can easily overcome this tribulation or persevere through this tribulation. And then rejoice in the character you're needing to grow in through this. And that's all because of the, if we are filled with the Spirit and we are from a spiritual point of view, Spirit's point of view, we turn all the tribulation into an opportunity for exaltation and perseverance and desiring to grow in proven character. So this is all a help of the Holy Spirit. Now turn this into a ministry context. You know, ministry is like disappointing. You know, you want to help people, but many disappointing things happen. How do you exalt in that tribulation? How do you persevere when you're, you know, hurt by people that you're trying to help, and you, there's a next generation and a next generation? You know, you can't do that without love and without the Holy Spirit. And you can't develop proven character. You know, leadership, one of the big tests of leadership is when these difficult things happen, you don't quit. It's when leaders quit, they fail to continue to grow as leaders, and they're wasting the giftedness God has given them. So that's one thing that I learned along the way when I failed in different times. I read this book by Bobby Clinton that says, failure is part of leadership growth. But the most sad thing is when people are tested through failures, they quit. When people quit, that's the wasteful thing. They no longer continue in the path of growth. So, but that is not just acquired. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the love must drive us. You know, love of God must, you know, I think that's what Paul says, right? Love of Christ, you know, drives me. Kind of. Okay, so I just wanted to review through this because I zipped through last time, but these are signs of a Spirit-filled people. But we're going to be praying for more of the filling of the Holy Spirit, but it's not like we're going to just sit and wait for a mystical thing. It's not necessarily so much mystical thing as we're looking for these evidence of the filling of the Spirit. If you're filled, you see these evidence. But in the meantime, we're definitely going to take steps of believing, you know, what the Holy Spirit can do and what are the obedient things I am called to do to continue to by faith obey. That's the last one that some of the how to be filled with the Spirit I've already covered. That's there, and a lot of them are here too. There's areas where God wants us to obey by faith to be filled, further filled with the Spirit. Amen. Okay, so going back to the verse at the beginning, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and you and cause you to walk in my statute, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. So it is my hope for our ministry through this summer to usher our ministry towards being filled with the Spirit, to the point where a heart of stone will become a heart of flesh, soft by the Holy Spirit. And we know that because when the Holy Spirit is filled, we want to walk in his stature. We want to observe his ordinances. And I trust our, you know, as we continue to pray, God will bless us. We want to pray this in faith and pray that for everyone in the ministry. And that our ministry environment will be a spirit-filled environment of people who desire to walk with God, desire to reflect Christ, desire to obey his will. You know, we have to be a ministry that exemplifies such spirit-filled life. Only then do we have a chance to be a powerful impact to the world. Amen? Okay, Lord, we thank you, God, so much for this time to reflect on what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And we see in the scripture of those people who are filled. And we want to keep that in mind and looking and hoping for us to experience that and have that in our life as well. But in the meantime, Lord, help us to know what you're calling us to do and obey. And by faith, knowing that the Spirit is in us, we are we have the power of the Spirit to do all that you command us to do. And by faith, by obedience, that we would be led into the greater fullness of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.